Morning, everyone. Today's daf from Sachin. This daf Chavtes. We are behind, as we all know. We lost the daf from Tisha B'Av, so we're trying to make our way back. We are now on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Hopefully, before we finish today, we'll finish with Chav Ches, and maybe we'll even start a little bit of Chavtes. You never know; we can get lucky. In the meantime, first and foremost, Shitas Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that when you destroy chametz, you have to do so b'sreifa. You have to do so by burning. Okay, there's a machlokas in the Mishnah. The Mishnah describes and discusses and debates whether what is the correct way of destroying your chametz, getting rid of your chametz. So we have two shitas in the Mishnah. We have the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, which is that you have to destroy it, but only through the way of strafe. And the Chachamim say, nah, you could spread it into the wind, you could throw it into the ocean, you don't have to burn it. I mentioned back in the Mishnah, when we did the Mishnah, which already now is going back a long time. But when we did the Mishnah, I mentioned that in the Mishnah, if you look at the Nusach of the Mishnah, it says, V'chacham amramim af mefar v'zor l'ruach matalayam. You can even do that, meaning it sort of sounds like from the Chachamim, burning is an option, and if you don't want to burn it, so then you can do these other options. I told you a number of Rishonim, the Riff and the Rush are some of them. Take out the word af from the Mishnah and just simply say, V'chacham amramim mefar v'zor l'ruach, meaning contrary to Rav Yehuda, it's not that you burn it, but rather you do these things. In other words, sounds like from these Rishonim that you don't. That you can't burn it. Either way, Shitas Rav Yehuda, which we'll be focusing on for the next couple of minutes, is that you have to burn it. So the Gemara goes on to explain, how did Rav Yehuda arrive at this conclusion? It's such an easy question, meaning because there's nowhere in the Torah where the Torah is going to tell you how to destroy your chametz. All the Torah says is simply tashbisu, you have to get rid of it. But there's nowhere in the Torah where the Torah describes a method of how to get rid of it. So the Gemara is going to deal with how did Rav Yehuda arrive at this conclusion that you have to burn it. So Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rav Yehuda ain bir chametz ala sreifa. So the Braisa over here is going to give us Rav Yehuda in detail. Hadin no sein, and he arrived at this conclusion using din. Methodology. One of the Yud Gimel Midos. Mano Soshenu Beval Yerav Al Yamatzei Taun Sreifa. And now we're going to try a Kavachomer. So just like Nosar. Now Nosar, in other words, Nosar is any carbon that's left over its time, where the Torah says that you have to destroy it. And not only does the Torah say you have to destroy it, but you got to burn it. So Mano Soshenu Beval Yerav Al Yamatzei Taun Sreifa. Chametz Sheshenu Beval Yerav Al Yamatzei Lo Kol Shekein. So Chametz, where, think about it. Chametz is not just an Isra Achila. Chametz is an issur of ownership. So if there's an additional issur by chametz, so kol shekein, shetan sefer requires sefer. Amru lo. So they say to Rabbi Yehuda, kol din shata dan tchilasa lahachman v'sofa lahakal eino din. Now, that's not a good kavachomer. But not for the usual reasons of why it's not a good kavachomer. Sometimes the kavachomer is discredited because it's just simply not good logic. It's faulty logic. Now here the logic is good. Rabbi Yehuda's logic is good. The problem becomes the conclusion. What's the conclusion? That the only way that you can destroy your chametz is only by burning it. So, if we come to your rational conclusion, lo matzah eitzim l'sorfo yeh yoshev avatel. So that now means that you don't have wood to burn your chametz. And now what? That's it. Meaning, okay, party's over. I was going to destroy my chametz, but I don't have the wood. I don't have the fuel. I can't burn it. So that's funny. And then what? And then you're going to just leave your chametz over? V'atar amar tashbisu, sormi batechem, b'chol davar shata yochel hashbisu. So, and the Torah says you got to get rid of it. Okay. So, this seems to be pretty much an end of a discussion, meaning that what Rav Yehuda attempts to do is arrive at a conclusion that you have to burn your chametz, and it's based on a kavachomer. And the chacham's response is, logic may be good, but anytime you arrive at a conclusion which will result in a kula, or if I don't have wood, I don't have to burn my chametz. It can't be. Can't be that the kavachomer is going to ever arrive in a kula. Chazar Rav Yehuda v'donu din acher. Now, I don't know. I get a little bit lost at this point in the Gemara because it sounds like the conversation should be over. And the conversation goes on, and it goes on not just to the end of the summit, but to the top of the next summit as well. So I'm not really sure because Rav Yehuda doesn't seem to respond to this point. He seems to just simply move on to the next point without really giving a proper response. I don't know how Rav Yehuda would respond to that point. Okay, certainly worth analysis. No, sir. Aser b'achila, the chametz aser b'achila. Torah prohibits eating. No, sir. The Torah prohibits eating chametz. My no, sir. B'sreifa, chametz b'sreifa. And just like no, sir, you have to burn it, so too chametz, you have to burn it. So amru lo, nevela tochiach. And they say to him, what do you mean? Just because the Torah prohibits something doesn't mean you have to burn it. I'll give you a simple example. Nevela. Now nevela is asur. Now you don't have to burn nevela. In fact, as we learned the beginning of the second parak, you can gift it away to somebody else who's allowed to eat nevela. A ger toshav, sell to a guy, but you don't have to burn nevela. So amalem hefresh. So Rav Yehuda says, well, there's a huge difference. No sir, asur b'achila v'hana. V'chametz asur b'achila uvana. Ma no sir, taun streifa of chametz taun streifa. So big difference. Meaning nevela is only asur b'achila. I'm talking about the things in the Torah that are asur b'achila v'hana. Chametz achila hana. No sir, achila and hana. I'm lo shor hanisko yochiach shasur b'achila v'hana ve'en taun streifa. Okay, what about shor hanisko? Right, an animal that gored, which is sentenced to die, you have to kill it. As we learned in the beginning of the second parak, you can't eat the shor haniskal even if you shecht it. You can't get benefit from it. The Torah says naki, right? Ubala shor naki, and we learned out earlier in the parak that means that you can't get anah from it. And meanwhile, shor haniskal, is there an obligation to burn the shor haniskal? No. So you see that we have something that's asur b'achila v'hanah, and there's no requirement to burn it. Amalam hefresh. So once again, Rav Yehuda says, I see a huge difference. No, asur b'achila v'hana v'enosh kares. Chametz asur b'achila v'hana v'enosh kares. Manos b'sreifa av chametz b'sreifa. Okay. Right, again, huge difference. Well, I'm talking about nos, I'm talking about chametz. Things that are not just, you can't eat, you can't benefit from, but also, if you eat it, isur kares. And that's not true by, shor and iskal. So the Gemara says, well, Amru lo chelbo shor haniskal yochiach. Well, what about the fat of the shor haniskal? So in other words, there are parts of the shor haniskal where if you eat it, you'll be subject to karis. Sha'asa b'achila uv'ana v'nash karis vein ton streifa. And there is no requirement of streifa. Chazer Rav Yehuda v'danon din acher. So once again, Rav Yehuda gets to another impasse in the conversation. Rav Yehuda also doesn't have a response because the rabbis are right. There are things that are also b'achila v'hana, and it's an iser kares, and the Torah doesn't require you to burn it. So now Rav Yehuda is going to go down a different avenue. And again, now for the second time in this discussion, Rav Yehuda seems to have been checkmated, and Rav Yehuda just simply takes us down a different road. Okay, so again, there's got to be more to the discussion than what we just see in the Gemara, because in the Gemara itself, now for the second time, Rav Yehuda does not seem to have a retort. Chazer Rav Yehuda v'danu din achir. We're now on the top of Chav Chesamad Aleph. No se yeshna b'val sosiru, v'chametz b'val tosiru. Okay, so there's no leftovers, meaning no sir, by its very definition, means the Torah prohibits me from leaving it over. When I have a karban, my chief objective with the karban is finish it, meaning finish eating the karban. The Torah does not want me to leave it over. The Torah doesn't want me to get to the point of no sir. Chametz, same story. Meaning before Pesach, finish the chametz. Okay, so nowadays, we don't finish it. Nowadays, we sell it to a non-Jew. But that's nowadays. That's a more modern phenomena. But what does the Torah want us? The Torah wants us to get rid of it before Pesach. So there's a din of nosar by chametz. There's a din of nosar by nosar. I know that sounds repetitive. So the v'chametz b'val tosir, ma nosar b'sreifa, v'chametz b'sreifa. So what does the Torah tell us to do with nosar burn it? That the Torah tells us to do, that's a pasuk. Parshas Bo. Same thing with chametz, burn it. Amru lo asham talui v'chatzas ha'of ha'val ha'safik l'dvarecha yochichu. What do you mean? We have a karban asham talui. Chatzas ha'of, coming on a safik, shehim b'val tosir. Now there the Torah says, b'val tosiru, meaning, don't leave it over. Right? The Asham Talui is eaten by the Kohanim. The Torah does not want us to leave it over. Shana Omrim B'Sreifa V'Ata Omrim B'Kvura. Now, it happens to be the last parak of Temura. I know that takes us back some time. But the last parak of Temura tells us how to dispose of certain things which we're not allowed to eat. Okay? And there basically are two methods over there in that last parak of Temura. Either Sreifa or Kvura. Burn it or bury it. And it happens to be that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that when you have an Asham Talui and there's leftover, so Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, bury it, not burn it. Now why? So when we get back to the end of Temura, we're going to remind one another, I don't remember off the top of my head, we're going to remind one another why Rabbi Yehuda says bury it, not burn it. But for all we need to know right now is, he says bury it. So the Chachamim turned to Rav Yehuda and say, wow, that's interesting. So anytime there's an issue in the Torah of Lo Sosiru, so you're saying burn it. But what about Hashem Talui? Where you say bury it and not burn it? Oh, that's a problem. So Shadim Rav Shefa Ata Omer Bekvora Shasak Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda was quiet. Okay, so here at least now in the Brisa, at least we acknowledge the fact that Rav Yehuda didn't have anything to answer. Meaning in the previous two impasses of Rav Yehuda, the conversation just moved smoothly along, even though Rav Yehuda didn't have a comeback. Here, the Gemara acknowledges Rav Yehuda does not have a comeback. But it's the worst of the worst, because they asked Rav Yehuda based on the shita of Rav Yehuda. So it really puts Rav Yehuda in a tight spot. I'm Rav Yosef, and now the Amoraim get to comment on how the Brisa ended. Hainu d'amri inshe kapadachata nagra begava nisrof chargala. These expressions I don't fully get, but basically, we have an expression here in America. It's, you sleep in the bed you make, right? Something along those lines. So basically, the Amoraim are going to express that idea in Amoraim terminology. If Rav Yehuda had a shita, which ended up really just hurting his position regarding burning of chametz. So Amar Rav Yosef Hainu D'Amar Isha Kapa Dechata Nagra Begavanisra of Chardala. The spoon of the carpenter is going to be burnt in the mustard. Okay, I'm being honest. I don't fully understand the expression, but anyway, I get the basic gist of what the Gemara is trying to do. Abay Amar Sadna Besadina Yosef Midvil Yadei. This is basically sleep in the bed you make. The one who makes chains is going to end up being chained in the chains that he makes. Rava Amar Gira Bigare Maktil Mitvil Yadei Mishtalem. And Rava has a different expression. The one who makes arrows is going to end up being shot with the arrows that he makes. Okay. Comes around, goes around. Okay, I'm sure we could do this so many different ways. But anyway, you get the basic point. Okay, continuing in the Gemara. Okay, so that's all she does, Rav Yehuda. Okay, sounds like, by the way, if I ask you the question, who do you passing like, Rav Yehuda or the Chachamim? I mean, based on the conversation we just had, it would sound like we don't passing like Rav Yehuda, right? The sounds like the Chachamim had convincing arguments against Rav Yehuda. All right. Anyway, we move on to the Chachamim. Now, the Chachamim said, Mefarer v'zorah l'ruach. I crumble it up and I throw it into the wind. Gemara asks a very simple question. Nibailu. Heichi kamer mefar v'zorah l'ruach. Mefar umat l'yam. Odilma mefar v'zorah l'ruach. Avamat l'yam be'enei. Okay. So the Chachamim say basically get rid of it any way you want. Now, I crumble up, I throw into the wind. That's clear. Or I throw it into the ocean. Now, does that also require me to crumble it up? Not totally clear from the Mishnah. Meaning that when the Mishnah gives a directive of mefarer, it could go on both points. It could be mefarer v'zorah l'ruach, and then mefarer v'zorah l'yam. Or it could be no, that when the Chachamim say throw into the ocean, it means your loaf of bread, throw your loaf of bread into the ocean. You don't have to crumble it up. It's going to get lost at sea. So v'tanan, nami gabi avodah zarah, ki hai gavna. Now the Gemara notes in avodah zarah, we have a similar discussion. Meaning, what happens when you have a Avodah Zarah? You got to destroy it. So how do you destroy it? Rav Yossi Amar, Sochek, or Shochek, V'zorah l'ruach. Crumble it up. And now, by the way, we're not talking about food. We're talking about a Avodah Zarah. Right? Little trinkets. So grind it up and throw it into the wind. Omatil yam, or throw it into the ocean. And again, it's the same question, that when you're destroying your Avodah Zarah, is the requirement to grind it up and throw it into the ocean, or just simply throw it into the ocean? Amar Rabba Mistabra. So Rabba says here, I'm going to present to you my logical opinion. Avodah Zarah Deliyama Melech Ha'azla Allah Bai Shechika. Chametz. So the Gemara says, well, I think we can make the following distinction. When I'm throwing my Avodah Zarah, I'm throwing it into the Yam HaMelech. The Mishnah in Avodah Zarah describes how it's being thrown into the Yam HaMelech. So Yam HaMelech, salty, it's corrosive, Okay. Nobody's swimming in the Yam HaMelech, which I know nowadays is laugh out loud funny. But you know what I mean. In other words, but there are no boats in the Yam HaMelech. There's no traffic in the Yam HaMelech. So there, one can make the argument, which is what Rabbah is doing right now, which is you don't need to grind it up. But chametz, however, if you take a loaf of bread and you throw it into the ocean, okay, so maybe a boat will come by and pick it up. And so Amale Rav Yosef Adra Bibcha Mistabra Avodah Zarah Delom Emisi Bai Shchika Chametz Emaisol Bai Pirur. The argument could really go the other way, meaning by Avodah Zarah is a metal trinket. I mean, it doesn't have to be metal, but most of the time it's metal. So you throw it to the ocean, it's not going to be disgusting, meaning somebody can come pick it up, okay, just dry it off and good, back to his idol worshipping. But when it comes to bread, you throw bread in the ocean, it gets soggy, it gets gross. So you could really make the, you could go the other way on this argument. Tanya Kavase Derava, Tanya Kavase Derav Yosef. The Gemara notes that there are brises supporting both of these positions. Tanya Kavase Derava, Haya Mahalach B'Midbar, Mifar V'Zor L'Ruach, Haya Mahalach B'Sfina, Mifarer Umato L'Yam. So here in this brisa, even when I'm throwing it to the ocean, I have to crumble it up. Tanya Kavase Derav Yosef, Haya Mahalach B'Midbar, Shochek, V'Zor L'Ruach, Haya Mahalach B'Sfina, Shochek, Umato L'Yam. So, umat oliyam, shchika kashla rabba, pira kashla rav Yosef. So the Gemara now notes the grinding up that's difficult for Rava. Taking the bread and crumbling it to bits that's difficult for Rav Yosef. Shchika la rabba lo kasha haliyam amelach ala shar naharos. So as far as Rava is concerned, well, it depends where I throw it. If I throw it to Yam HaMelech, so again, Yam HaMelech, no traffic, it's corrosive, so you don't need to grind it up. If I throw it into any other into any other ocean, well, the concern is going to be that someone else is going to pick it up. Pir la Rav Yosef lokasha habechita habenahama. And as far as the crumbling of the bread, so it depends what kind of bread we're talking about. If we're talking about just simply wheat kernels, or if we're talking about actual bread. So if we're talking about wheat kernels, so there you have to crumble it up. So, because the concern is that someone's just going to simply pick up the kernels from the ocean and going to pick up chametz on Pesach.
So, is kernels actually chametz?
Kernels by themselves are not.
Right, so,
I think, yeah, so it could be that the kernels that were soaked, Rashi just simply says, chite shehich mitzu. Somehow, the wheat kernels became chametz. Meaning, you can't make chametz without water. You need water for chametz. So, I don't know, the wheat kernels were soaked somehow, some way. Yes.
Can't you learn out from Egel Hazav that you only need to fall right?
Yeah, but that's a historical episode. And so, that doesn't speak to what the halacha should be. Meaning, you're right, Moshe crumbled it up. There's no question about it. But that doesn't necessarily give us a directive of what should be done for the future. Although it is good evidence, but it's not a directive. Okay. So, good, Adkan. So, we are finished now with the topic of Biur Chametz. And now we move on to a huge topic in the next Mishnah, which is Chametz She'avar Alav HaPesach. Okay, before we start with this Mishnah, let's just go over. There are basically three units of time. Okay, there's before Pesach, there's on Pesach, and there's after Pesach. Now, even when I say before Pesach, by the way, I'm not talking about a long time before Pesach. I'm just speaking about from midday of Erev Pesach until Pesach itself. Okay? So, Chatzos Hayom on the 14th day of Nisan until the evening of Pesach. That is time period number one. We'll call that Kodem Zmano. Okay. Then there's the actual 7 days of Pesach. We'll call that Toch Zmano. And then there's after Pesach. And we're going to call that, that's correct, La'achar Zmano. Okay, so there are three periods of time. And now the question is as follows. You're not allowed to eat chametz. Not during the first time A. Certainly not during Pesach itself. And not after Pesach. And basically what we're going to be discussing, and now there are going to be a lot of opinions over here, three in total. But what we're going to be discussing is, at what level of Torah prohibition are we talking about during these three time periods? So, Chamed Shal Nachri Sha'avar Lava Pesach Motar Ba'ana V'Shal Yisrael Asar Ba'ana Shenem Alo Yeralecha Sa'or. The Mishnah gives us very precious little information. right? And in fact, there's really hard to conclude anything from the Mishnah. The Mishnah simply says that if I have chametz of a non-Jew after Pesach, you're allowed to benefit from it. Now think about this for a moment. Allowed to benefit from it, I dare say you can do more than just benefit. You can eat it, right? That's what we do, right? We run to Publix right after Pesach is over. So, the Mishnah saying that's mutter bahana seems to be missing the basic point, which is it's more than just mutter bahana, it's mutter bahachila. And then the Mishnah says, and then shall Yisrael aser bahana. If I have chametz of a Jew, meaning a Jew owned chametz over Pesach, yes, he violated the Yisrael of the Torah of Bayi Rabbi of Bayi Matzeh. And now that you have chametz that was owned by a Jew after Pesach, it's aser bahana, one's not allowed to benefit from it, shenemar lo yirel achas ta'or. Okay. Again, we work backwards because we know from what we know. Meaning, we know that there's a prohibition chamish avar lava Pesach after Pesach. You know, here in Florida, we don't have that many Jewish stores. So there's, you know, it's Publix. It's, you know, it's all your big local chains. So, right, but if you're living elsewhere where a lot of Jews are owning a lot of stores, so then you have the list that comes out after Pesach, right, of where you can go, and by definition that means where you can't go by your chametz, because we know chametz of our love of Pesach, that if chametz that was owned by a Jew over the course of Pesach, we cannot eat that chametz after Pesach. The Mishnah says that. The Mishnah says, by the way, not only is it asr b'achila, it's also asr b'hana, shenemar, because the pasuk says lo yirelech lecha seor. Now, that's good, but the problem with that part of the Mishnah is lo yirelech seor. That's talking about after Pesach? No. That's talking about on Pesach. So how is that going to translate to the Isser of Chamisha Avar Lava Pesach? The Mishnah is just, it's short, and it's unbelievably problematic. Okay? So, what we're going to do over the course of today is the following. We're going to go through the Gemara. The Gemara is going to give us a whole introduction. In fact, an entire Amud, meaning Chav Ches Amud Beis, from here till the bottom of the next Amud, is all by way of introduction. Meaning, let me give you the background information that you need. After you get all the background information, then we're going to go back to our Mishnah, and we're going to try our best to understand the Mishnah. So first things first, let's get everything down. Mani Masisim La Rav Yehuda V'La Rav Shimon V'La Rav Yosef Glili. Our Mishnah is not going like any of the Tanaim, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Rav Yosef Glili, Mahi. Now the Gemara asks the obvious question, who are they? Meaning, what they all have opinions, but what are their opinions? So the Tanya, so the Gemara here says, okay, we're going to now go through it step by step. We're going to introduce ourselves now to three opinions regarding chametz. Chametz bein lefnei zmano, bein la'achar zmano, over alav belav, toch zmano, over alav belav, v'karis div Rav Yehuda. So now shita number one. Shita number one is Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says like this, right? Lifnei zmano. Now remember, like we said, lifnei zmano means from chatzos hayom and erev Pesach until the night, until Seder night. So that's what's called lifnei zmano. We learned already in the first perek, chametz is asur min d'oraisa from chatzos hayom until the evening. So the Rav Yehuda over here in the Braisa says that during the time period, chametz is asur belav, meaning it's just a negative prohibition. When I say just, meaning it's not a chiyuv kares. Acher zmano, meaning chametz after Pesach, that's also going to be alav, but not kares. It's only during Pesach itself, during the 7 days of Pesach, where chametz is both alav and an ister kares. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, top of Chav Ches Amud Beis. Rabbi Shimon Omer, chametz lifnei zmano, lachar zmano, eno over alav below klum. Then there's shita number two, shita's Rabbi Shimon. Chametz before Pesach and after Pesach is eno over alav below klum. There is no violation whatsoever. Meaning there is no Torah violation for chametz before and after Pesach. And toch zmano over alav bekares uvalav. And during Pesach itself, eating chametz would be a lav, and it would also be an iser kares. Below klum toch zmano over alav bekares of a lav. Umisha she'asa b'achila, asa b'ana. And then the Braisa says that when it's asa b'achila, it's also asa b'ana. When you can't eat it, you can't benefit from it. Asan l'tanakama, that takes us back to the position of the Tanakama. And then the Braisa continues. By the way, the Asan l'tanakama, that's like the Gemara's like little insertion into the Braisa. Just so you should know, that statement goes back to the position of the Tanakama. That whenever you can't eat it, you also can't benefit from it. And Rav Yosi Haglili Omer Tamal Asmachai Chametz Aser Behana Kol Shiva. And Rav Yosi Haglili says, what do you mean Isser Hana? There is no Isser Hana. Right? We saw this position earlier in the Perek, in the beginning of the second Perek, where Rav Yosi Haglili is of the position, the minority position, really the singular position, all right, no one else agrees with him, that we know of, that Chametz is Mutter Behana. Even on Pesach itself. And he said, they write Tamal Asmacha, meaning you got to wonder. And as we pointed out already in the beginning of the second paragraph, the reason why he says Tamal Asmacha is because there's no pasuk in the Torah that says that Chametz is also Ba'ana. It's just a, it's based on, right, three dapim of the beginning of the second paragraph. Okay. Uminain la'ochel Chametz mishesh shosal malo shu over below sa'asei. And how do I know that you eat Chametz from 6 hours and onward? That you're in violation of a losas, shenemar losay chalav chametz, div Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda quotes a pasuk, loso chalav chametz. So Amalo Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Shimon turns to Rav Yehuda and says, what are you doing? You're quoting a pasuk describing the 6 hours before Pesach, v'chi esher lomar kain? You can't do that. V'alo kvar nemar loso chalav chametz, shivas yamim to chalav matzos. You know you can't be right. Meaning that the Torah, when the Torah prohibits chametz, is prohibiting it at a time when you're eating matzah. Imkin matam alam lo sochal av chametz b'shash yeshna b'komechol matzah yeshna b'val tochal chametz uvishash yeshna b'komechol matzah yeshna b'val tochal chametz. There's the relationship between chametz and matzah. When there's an opportunity to eat matzah, there's an isser of chametz. When there's no mitzvah of eating matzah, there's no isser of chametz. So Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, the pasuk that you quoted, and you're applying that to the 6 hours before Pesach, you can't do that. There's no mitzvah to eat matzah then. And by the way, the Yerushalmi says you're not allowed to eat matzah then, right? There's a prohibition to eat matzah, although that prohibition is actually never mentioned in the Bavli. But in other words, although the beginning of the 10th Perek, right, describes how you really should not. But there's no mitzvah to eat matzah, so there can't possibly be an Isser Chametz for those 6 hours. So, fine. So, and that's Rabbi Shimon's point. And the Gemara later on will point out, Rabbi Shimon seems to be making an excellent point. So, and what's Rabbi Yehuda going to do with that? With that point to Rabbi Shimon? Okay, we'll come back to that in just a moment. Anyway, my time at the Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara itself is going to try to help us understand Rabbi Yehuda a little bit better. What's the reason behind Rabbi Yehuda? Talasa Kraik Steve. It says three psukim. Lo yechal chametz. V'chol machmetzos lo sochelu, lo sochal alav chametz. Okay? So the three psukim, two of the psukim that are quoted over here from Parshas Bo, the third pasuk is from Parshas Re'eh. Anyway, but the three psukim all represent the three different time periods. Chad lefnei zmano, chad la'achar zmano, chad lesoch zmano. So one's describing the time before Pesach, the other is describing the time after Pesach, and one's describing Pesach itself. Rabbi Shimon, now the Gemara anticipates already, Rabbi Shimon knows that there are three psukim. Rabbi Shimon just simply uses the psukim to teach me other halachas. Rabbi Shimon, chal lesoch zmano v'chol machmetzes. Oh, sorry. So, chal lesoch zmano. So, first of all, one pasuk is there to describe on Pesach itself, chametz is aser. Good. V'chol machmetzes mi ba'ilei l'chidatanya. Now, what about the pasuk of chol machmetzes? Ein li elish in his chametz me'elav. Machmetz davar acher minayin. You know, in the good old days, you know how they used to make chametz, or for that matter, any bread. Their leavening agent was sourdough. They would take a piece of old, moldy bread, throw it into the dough, and that would cause the fermentation process. Okay, nowadays, we buy what's called yeast. Okay, Fleischmann's yeast. Right, and it's, but they knew back then also that the sourdough wasn't the only thing that started the fermentation process. They knew that there were other agents, other leavening agents. So what the drasha is over here is, how do I know that regardless of what I use to make chametz, meaning even if I don't use bread to make chametz, even if I use another leavening agent, but the dough rises, How do I know that that's also Tamalamar Kol Machmetzes Lo Sochelu? The Kol Machmetzes, regardless of what causes the chametz, Kol Machmetzes, anything that causes chametz is going to be prohibited on Pesach. So Rabbi Shimon uses a pasuk of Kol Machmetzes already. That takes away one of the three psukim. Lo yochal chametz mibayle lechadetanya. And what about the other pasuk? Rabbi Shimon says, I have that pasuk used up as well. The pasuk says, lechadetanya, Rabbi Yosek, l'ilam minayin lepesach mitzrayim, she'en chimutsu no'ay galayam achad. Pesach mitzrayim. Now this is an interesting one, because the Gemara basically now is going to tell us, here are the halachos of Pesach mitzrayim. Now historically, how many times have we experienced Pesach mitzrayim in our history? Once. So, it is interesting that the Gemara applies now a drasha in a pasuk to tell us, here are the laws of Pesach Mitzrayim, which happened, right, I was going to say 2,000 years ago? 2,500 years ago. Okay, more than 25?
3,000 years ago.
Thank you. 3,000 years ago. Okay. Right, you're right, you're 2448. Right. Okay, good. Right, and we're in the year 5773. Okay, good. So anyway, so good. So over 3,000 years ago. So right. So yeah, it is interesting that the pasuk over here is to tell us about Pesach Mitzrayim. So the Ela Yom Echad Tamalomer Lo Yechal Chametz Usmichlei Yom Atam Yotzim Bechodesh Aviv. So in Pesach Mitzrayim there was only an Isur Chametz for one day. From that point going forward, 7 days. Okay. So in other words, yes, it's interesting. And the Gemara elsewhere, in the beginning of Yuma, if I'm not mistaken, the Gemara says, "My dahava hava," meaning that, okay, historically, whatever happened historically, happened historically. But that's not true for future generations. Okay, anyway, but the point is, Rabbi Shimon uses two of the psukim. Rabbi Shimon only has one pasuk remaining to tell me about the Isur of Chametz. That's Toch Zmano. Rabbi Yehuda, Machmas Davarachim in Alei. Now, Rav Yehuda agrees, by the way, with these points. He just arrives at these points using different psukim. So, midafke rechman ablasham achmetzes. So, as far as using other leavening agents to create chametz, yeah, the Torah didn't have to say the word machmetzes. The Torah could have used a different lashon. The fact that the Torah is mishana halashon, changes the language to machmetzes, that tells us that any leavening agent. And Rav Yosef, l'ilman alei. And now, what about the fact that in Pesach Mitzrayim there was only an Isur Chametz for one day? So either it could be Smichas Aparshios, just simply the juxtaposition of the Parshios, or it could just very well be that he doesn't agree and he doesn't darshan Smuchin. Okay. Amar Mar. Okay, and we're not even done yet. Meaning, this is still, I put all this still in the introduction. Meaning, let's just get our facts down on the ground. Okay, so the exchange between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says that pasuk is talking about for the 6 hours from midday of the 14th until the evening of the 14th, and Rabbi Shimon says it can't be, because in that very same pasuk it describes the mitzvah of eating matzah. The Isur of Chametz is only when there's a mitzvah of eating matzah. If there's no mitzvah of eating matzah, there's no Isur of Chametz. That's Rabbi Shimon's point to Rabbi Yehuda. To which the Gemara basically says, Rabbi Shimon sounds really good. His point sounds excellent. Rabbi Yehuda, Shaper Kamalei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon seems to have just hit Rabbi Yehuda right over the head. What's Rabbi Yehuda going to do? Rabbi Yehuda, Amalecha, Hu Lekova Chova, Afil Bezman Azeh. So what Rabbi Yehuda is going to do with that pasuk is the following. Yes, there is a mitzvah to eat matzah, even nowadays. What do you mean, even nowadays? I would have thought differently. Yeah, I would have thought differently. There is a thought that there is no mitzvah to eat matzah nowadays. Why? Because we don't have Karban Pesach. The pasuk says, "Am matzah samarim yochlu," that we eat the Karban Pesach, and to supplement the eating of the Karban Pesach, I eat it together with matzah maror. One may have thought, once it's no longer Karban Pesach, so then there should be no longer any matzah, nor should there be maror. So what this pasuk is telling me is that as long as there's an Isur of Chametz, and there's always an Isur of Chametz, meaning the Isur of Chametz is not connected to the Karban Pesach, although even when I say that, I'm going to hedge a little bit, because there is a prohibition in the Torah of not shechting the Karban Pesach while you have Chametz in your possession, which we're going to be discussing later in the Masechta. But anyway, I say that all under my breath. But there, in other words, the Issur of Chametz is always the case. So as long as it's an Issur of Chametz, there's also a mitzvah to eat matzah. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda is going to do with that pasuk. And Rabbi Shimon, look, Avachova Manale. Now, how does Rabbi Shimon know that Bizman is there's a mitzvah to eat matzah? Now, Afkalei, maybe Erev Tochlu Matzos. He learns it from the pasuk of Erev Tochlu Matzos. Fine. V'Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what's Rabbi Yehuda going to do with the pasuk of maybe Erev Tochlu Matzos? Mi Baile Tamei V'Shaya B'Derech Rechoka. He uses it for other people. Other people who are incapable of eating Karban Pesach, either because they're Tamei, so they can't eat Karban Pesach, meaning not the majority of the Jewish people being Tamei, a minority of the people being Tamei, they can't eat Karban Pesach, and Derech Rechoka, and those people who are far away and have an exemption from Karban Pesach, they have to eat matzah. The Gemara articulates the Havamina. Since they're not eating Karban Pesach, therefore they have no obligation to eat matzah. Kamash Malan. The Chiddush is no, that even though they're not eating Karban Pesach, they still have a mitzvah to eat matzah. Rabbi Shimon. Now the Gemara just turns to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, you agree? How do you arrive at that conclusion? Rabbi Shimon, Tamei v'shaya b'derech rechoka, lo itzrich kra, delogara me'aro ubein nechar, dechsi v'chol aro lo yochal bo. So Rabbi Shimon will say, look, I agree with the conclusion. I just didn't need a pasuk for that. I knew that already. For example, the Torah says that an arel and a ben nechar, they're not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach. And the Torah describing the Arul says, an Arul, of course, somebody who's uncircumcised. I'll come back to Rashi in just a moment. The Arul lo yochabo, so the Arul cannot eat it. What is the it referring to? Karban Pesach. An Arul is not allowed to eat Karban Pesach. Bohu eino ochel, and the Gemara darshins. He can't eat the Karban Pesach, aval, ochu b'matzah v'marer. But what he does eat is he eats matzah and marer. So in other words, if the RL, who's prohibited from eating Karban Pesach, is eating matzah, so I'll say the same thing by a Tamei and a Derech Rechoka. They're not eating Karban Pesach, but they're going to eat matzah as well. Rav Yehuda, Ksiv Bahai, Ksiv Bahai. And Rav Yehuda says, yes and yes. Meaning, I agree with you regarding RL and Ben Nechar, that they're prohibited from eating Karban Pesach, but they're going to eat matzah. But when it comes, wrong conjunction. And the Tamei and the Derech Rechoka, they also, even though they can't eat Karban Pesach, they still have an obligation to eat matzah. Meaning, we have Pesukim that describe all of them. Okay, a couple of points. First of all, an Arul. An Arul is not allowed to eat Karban Pesach. Okay, first of all, the Torah says so. Okay. Those two mitzvos of Mila and Karban Pesach, we know, are the only two mitzvos that say, the only two positive commandments where failure to do so results in a punishment. Meaning, generally speaking, by mitzvah saseh, by positive commandments, Torah says do it, and what if I don't? There's no punishment. Punishment comes only for lo saseh. But generally speaking, not asays, that's generally speaking, but for failure to get a milah and to do Karban Pesach, the punishment is kares. So that's you see that these two mitzvahs are connected. And if you don't have a bris milah, then you can eat Karban Pesach. And Arel, you take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi says this. I can't even begin to tell you because I don't know, but I will say this. Rashi says it almost every time. Arel, shemesu echav machmas milah. Why is it an Arel? So Rashi describes it as an Arel because his brothers died. God forbid a woman has a child, gives the child a milah, the child dies. Second child dies. From that point going forward, she still has children, but no more Mila. There's no more mitzvah of Mila. In other words, at that point in time, the child is exempt from the mitzvah of Mila. So it's interesting, because basically what Rashi's saying is, he's an Arel, but not by choice. In other words, in fact, not only not by choice, at that point in time, you don't give him a Mila. The correct thing to do is not to give him a Mila. And then it comes out the coin to Rashi, he therefore now is exempt from the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. So it's, I don't know if it, you know, a little philosophically challenging how you know, for reasons not his own fault, not, for no fault of his own, he's an Arel, and therefore he can't eat the Karban Pesach. Okay, but I guess I've seen Rashi say this enough times, where I'm just kind of used to it. But I guess it's a little bit, it's huh? No, right. In other words, right, and right. In other words, he has a genuine exemption from eating the Karban Pesach, even though. In other words, you would have thought without Rashi, an Arel means somebody who's defiant, meaning I don't want the bris milah. That's not who we're describing right now. We're describing somebody who can't get a bris milah. Okay. So anyway, so that's Rashi by Arel. Okay. And now we are up to speed. Well, first of all, we're about to start today's daf, so that's exciting. But before we actually begin, let's just quickly review. We have basically now three shitas. So to quickly review, shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, again, I'm going to go A, B, and C. A is the 6 hours before Pesach. B is Pesach itself. And C is going to be Acher Pesach. So A, B, and C. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Lav and Kares, Lav. Okay. According to Rabbi Shimon, nothing. Lav and Kares, nothing. And according to Rav Yossi Haglili, so this one I get a little stuck on. Meaning, according to Rav Yossi Haglili, I know on Pesach itself, it's just Achila, but not Hana. There's an Isra Achila, but there's no Isra Hana. And then before Pesach and after Pesach, I'm not sure what Rav Yossi Haglili is saying before and after Pesach. But on Pesach itself, there's only an Isra Achila, not an Isra Hana. Okay, fine. Those are your three shitas. And now here comes the question. Who's the author of our Mishnah? Okay. Now, again, review. What does the Mishnah say? Chamisha nachri shavar lava pesach mutar bana. Vishal yisrael asar bana. Shenem lo yura lachasa or. Okay. So, chametz that's owned by a non-Jew, so you'll have to benefit from it. Chametz owned by a Jew over Pesach, after Pesach he can't get benefit from it. Who's the author of our Mishnah? So the Gemara now contemplates. So Mani Mas Nisan. Who's the author of our Mishnah? E Rabbi Yehuda Chametz Stamakamar Afilu Denachri. So Rabbi Yehuda simply says Chametz is Aser. Period. Categorically.
But does he say Nachri also?
No. Rabbi Yehuda just simply says Chametz is Aser.
He doesn't specify Jew or Nachri.
And he doesn't specify.
So how do you know that doesn't he?
Well. I'm just going to take your question and just reverse it. And I don't know if this will make you happy, but how do we know he doesn't? Meaning, all he tells us is that chametz is aser. So, e Rav Yehuda chametz tamakamar afilu denachri. Rav Yehuda says that chametz after Pesach is aser. Period. Now, the Gemara later on will work backwards and.
We had also like Beit Shammai who said that he cannot benefit of the.
We'll come back to that. So I feel the nachri. So ostensibly, our Mishnah is not going like Rav Yehuda because Rav Yehuda says that chametz after Pesach is aser. Period, making no distinction between chametz of a Jew versus chametz of a non-Jew. And the Yisrael, I'm sorry, the E Rabbi Shimon top of Chavtes Amad Aleph, and if our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, the Yisrael Nami Mishrei Kashare. So. So Rabbi Shimon allows all chametz after Pesach. Meaning, what was Shitas Rabbi Shimon? Right, A, B, and C. No Isser at all. The Isser of Achila and Hana, and then no Isser at all. So chametz shavar lava Pesach according to Rabbi Shimon is mutter legamre. So our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Shimon. The E Rav Yosi Aglili I feel it talks mano nami Mishnah kashari bana. And our Mishnah is certainly not going like Rav Yosi Aglili, because Rav Yosi Aglili says, you're allowed to benefit from Chametz on Pesach itself. So don't tell me, well, after Pesach, it's Mutar Bahana. What do you mean after Pesach? According to Rav Yosi Aglili, on Pesach, it's Mutar Bahana. So, our Mishnah seems to be going like, not Rav Yehuda, not Rabbi Shimon, and not Rav Yosi Aglili. Okay. Well, that obviously leaves us in a bind. Yes.
Is it just a Mishnah? What about our Meir?
Well, if there was a sheet, meaning the Gemara only operates with the shitas it knows. So it only knows these shitas. It knows.
But I think it's a
Stam Mishnah. Stam Mishnah is usually Rabbi Meir, but right. If we knew what Rabbi Meir said on this issue, so then we can give attribution.
He's not on record.
Meaning we have on record three Tanayim. We're trying to plug in one of the Tanayim into the Mishnah. Problem is, nobody fits. Right? Square peg, round hole, or maybe the other way around. The problem, I think, has already been stated. So, Amar of Acher Yaakov. So we are now going to start with two approaches in the Gemara in terms of who is the author of our Mishnah. Approach number one, Rav Acher Yaakov, and he says, La'olam Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is authored by Rav Yehuda. Now, again, let's review. Rav Yehuda says, Chametz before Pesach, Aser, Be'achila. Chametz on Pesach, Be'achila uvehana and in Issacharis. Chametz after Pesach, Aser. Okay, that sheet is Rav Yehuda. So what's the problem? The problem is, as the Gemara articulated just a couple lines ago, that according to Rav Yehuda, Chametz after Pesach is Aser, regardless of who owns it. Meaning it's Aser. So how can our Mishnah be going like Rav Yehuda when our Mishnah clearly makes the distinction of chametz of a Jew versus chametz of a non-Jew?
It doesn't specify non-Jew.
Okay, good. So the yalif se'or de achila mi se'or de re'iya. Ma se'or de re'iya shel chaya taro v'al taro shel acherim v'shel gavoa af se'or de achila shel chaya ta'ochel ava ata'ochel shel acherim v'shel gavoa. So now the Gemara Ben is going to make your argument, which is that maybe the Isser Vachila is linked to the Isser of Bayer Abayimatse. Okay? Meaning, as we discussed since day one of the Masechta, there are three prohibitions of Chametz. You're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to benefit from it, and you're not allowed to own it. But as we already established in the first parak of the Masechta, ownership means that you're not allowed to own your Chametz on Pesach. What if a non-Jew stores his chametz in your house on Pesach, and assuming you have no liability, because if you do, that is going to create, it's liability creates ownership. We talked about that in the first parak. Right? And so let's say without liability, that's fine. There's no, reishelcha iataroa, ava ataroa shalacherim. Your chametz you can't own on Pesach, but if somebody else's chametz in your possession, that's not yours, that's fine. And now what Rav Yehuda is arguing is, same thing by Achila. You can't eat Jews chametz on Pesach, but you can eat non-Jews chametz. Now, if you're following this well and carefully, you realize that what we're arriving at is what is going to be not an absurd conclusion, but certainly a very strange conclusion. It comes out now that this argument is going to lead us down the path of, you know what I can do on Pesach? I can eat chametz. I can't eat chametz owned by a Jew, but I can eat chametz of a non-Jew. Right? In other words, we just create a relationship between the Isser of ownership and the Isser of eating. The Isser of ownership is only for Jews' chametz. The Isser of eating is only for a Jew's chametz. But if it's a non-Jew's chametz, so then there would be an allowance to eat it. Now, this is not me saying this. This is Rashi saying this. Take a look at Rashi. Take a look at Take a look at the third line down. Rashi v'yalef se'or da'achila klomar chametz de'gabe lo ye'achel mis'or de'ri'ya u'mutter chemso shal nachri. The chametz of a non-Jew is mutter af ba'achila v'afilu be'pesach min haTorah. So you're allowed to eat it. Even on Pesach, min haTorah.
But you're eating by stealing it.
Okay, so, couple of issues with this Rashi. Now, the biggest issue, of course, is, what? I mean, to, right, in other words, you can eat chametz on Pesach, just because it's not owned by a Jew, that makes it okay? Okay, I mean, just, the biggest question is, that's a funny conclusion to arrive at. The other issue is that, how do we ever get to this point where I don't own the chametz? Meaning, I'm putting chametz in my mouth. Let's say it didn't start off as my chametz. But by me inserting it into my mouth, doesn't it become mine? Now, let's say I don't have permission. Okay, so what does that make you? Makes you a ganav. So we know what happens with a ganav is that he acquires. with the obligation to make restitution and to reimburse. So there's a technical issue over here, which is, how are you ever going to arrive at that point in time where I'm going to be sticking a non-Jew's chametz in my mouth and it won't become mine? This problem is presented by Tosos. You can take a look at Tosos on the top of the next amud, on top of this amud. Perish Rashi muter b'achila v'kasha. The e efshar im lo yeh shalah b'shas achila. Meaning, how are we going to ever get to this bridge of you're going to eat chametz and it doesn't belong to you? By you putting it in your mouth, it will belong to you. Deim nasan lo hanachri harei shalah. If the nachri gifts it to you, it's yours. Deim gazol minachri harei chay b'achriuso. And if you're stealing it, but you're still liable, and Tosos reminds us what we learned in the first parak, that if you are liable, that makes you now the de facto owner of chametz on Pesach. So it's like it's yours. So Tosos asks a series of other questions. Tosos therefore argues that that's not what Rav Yehuda means. Or I should say Rav Acha bar Yaakov. It doesn't mean, even in this connection between ownership and eating, it doesn't mean that you're allowed to eat chametz of a non-Jew on Pesach. It means that you're allowed to eat chametz of a non-Jew after Pesach. Okay, and could we defend Rashi? I'm sure we could defend Rashi. It's a mitzvah to defend Rashi. But certainly an interesting discussion. Okay, so let's just quickly wrap up. Let's just quickly summarize where we've gone to so far, and then we'll continue tomorrow on Shabbos. Okay, so we finished up the discussion today about the mitzvah of Tashbisu, of destroying chametz, machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim in terms of what the mitzvah is. A clarification of the position of the Chachamim, whether the Chachamim require you to grind it up, throw it in the wind, and also grind it up when you throw it into the ocean. You could just throw it into the ocean itself. The Gemara clarified what is the Chachamim's position. Actually, didn't clarify, but presented a machlokas. We also started the new Mishnah, Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah talked about Chametz She'avar Alav HaPesach, where the Mishnah says it's mutter, if it's owned by a non-Jew, it's mutter bahana. If it's owned by a Jew, it's aser bahana. And then the rest of today, all we did is do one thing, and that is identify who the author of the Mishnah is. We introduced ourselves to the position of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yosef Aglili. We then tried to, at first glance, our Mishnah is going like none of the above. And now we're in the middle of the discussion on Chav Tes, which is two basic approaches. We've only covered the first approach, which is that the author of our Mishnah is really, in fact, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that chametz after Pesach is a lav, it's a negative prohibition, minat Torah, but only chametz owned by a Jew, not by a non-Jew. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda feels that there's a relationship between the isra of achila and the isra of ownership, of bal yerah. And just like we know the isra of ownership is only for Jews chametz, not a non-Jews chametz, the isra of achila is only for a Jews chametz, not for a non-Jews chametz. And then the last thing we did is just cover that very interesting Rashi, which Rashi offers us that according to this approach, chametz of a non-Jew would be mutter ba'achila on Pesach, which we went through a little bit of Tosfos. Hard to understand how that could ever be. Okay, good. We'll stop over here. We'll talk offline.